Welcome to Mortgage Insights, bringing you the latest updates on all the property and finance hot topics. Here's your host, Andrew Myrams.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining me. I've got sitting with me today a very special guest, Gavin Taylor from Metropole Property Strategists. Hi, Gavin.
Andrew, good to be with you.
Thank you. Gavin, your line of business at Metropole, or the specific area that you work in, is more along the building and renovations and certainly property development. So really interested, because I know lots of people that listen to us are all interested in doing a development, their first, second or tenth, because everyone's going to be the next property tycoon. Can you take me through, I guess, let's start with some of your experiences, or maybe just what is a development in your opinion?
So it's a broad question, a very broad question. A development is, I would guess, a reconfiguration of the urban landscape, a reconfiguration of a site. Could be into, you know, 100 apartments, could be into two townhouses.
So completely changing what's there.
Changing what's there.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily completely changing,
no,
because
point.
You can take a historical building like the QV building in Sydney.
Absolutely.
And redevelop the internal and keep the external. And that's
very
successful.
A beautiful big block in Melbourne or Brisbane and shave off the block and renovate the front period home and then put a brand new one on the back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a broad subject.
Yes.
It's a broad subject. I think it's characterized by a couple of things.
Yep.
One is that you can't do what you want. You're going to have to get somebody's permission do it.
That's not good. The rules.
So somebody's going to have to say, yes, you can. And no,
I don't
you
know.
Can't.
I've seen some developments in Asia that doesn't seem like there's many rules.
The other one is, you're going to have to offer your product to the market at some stage.
Yes.
So you can't, again, do what you want. You've got to do what the market wants.
Mm.
And somewhere along the line, you're probably going to have to borrow some money to help you do this.
Yeah.
Because development's generally a little bit more expensive in dollar terms.
Yeah.
And we don't always have that amount of cash.
So it's fair to say, a development isn't for everyone, isn't it?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Although everybody is allowed to comment on them because
Absolutely.
They are part of what we see every day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm really interested to probably start with, rather than going through the phase of a development, let's start with some of the pitfalls or some of the horror things or horror stories you've seen, because I have a few as well. Tell me, maybe, what do you think the biggest downfall or pitfall is that you've seen a property developer or a development where it's fallen over or come undone?
I think there are probably a number of answers to this. The one is the famous, you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
And maybe a developer early in the stages of his career or her career was successful on one or two initial developments and thought they knew everything and then...
So there can be a fluke in the market, can't they?
Yeah.
They buy something, develop it, and the market takes off and they go, oh, this is easy.
And a rising market is very kind and generous to mistakes.
Yeah, the old saying, rising tide lifts all ships, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But I think hidden in that is the concept of doing a proper feasibility.
Yep.
If you test your solution and you test it against various scenarios and you test it against various possibilities, doing a proper due diligence, not only of the financials, but of the thinking behind the financials.
And then, even so that the product as well that you're putting out and everything.
Exactly right.
Yep.
And as human beings, we've got the capacity, this wonderful capacity to give us the answer that we want to have.
we're pretty easy self-markers, aren't we?
Fantastic. So when you look at a feasibility and the number comes out and this thing's going to give me a zillion percent margin, you say to yourself, oh, God, it's got to go. It's got to go every day of the week.
Well, it can if you choose to exclude all the things that it's going to cost you to get to that.
Yeah, and the fact that you've inflated the end values deflated the purchase price and shortened the time frames and yada, yada, yada. It goes on.
But so, surely a property developer knows when interest rates are going down and when the market's going up, so it would always work, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And then if you add to the fact that some successful developers put on these bulletproof vests.
And
then they've done three or four and nothing can beat them. A little of arrogance comes into it.
Yeah, sure.
And you've really got to remember that these things, developments,
yeah,
are great exposures at certain date. And the truth about development is that the successful ones are all about risk management.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's a great point. So risk management, knowing what you're in for.
Knowing what you're in for, recognising the risks. We're doing this for the added value.
Mm.
So at Metropole, the added value is something that we don't sell, we don't realise by selling.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of reasons behind that. We do this to keep for the long term.
Yeah.
But even having said that, the motivating force being the added value, that's what we've got to keep sight of.
Yeah. Because I guess everyone goes into a development also with a different outcome in mind. So there are developers, you can look in every capital city of Australia and all around the place, that are developing literally to sell, like a larger scale development. Mm-hmm. And then there are developments that, like what you're talking about, that we develop to hold and to value add to that property and hold and build your asset base in the long term, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of your feasibility, is what are you going into it for, is what do you want out of it?
I think you raise a very important point. And my mother used to say, bless her, never sit in a chair that you can't get out of. So it's a case of know what your exit strategy is before you get into something.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be fair to say, if you're doing your due diligence properly, that you want to make sure there's not just the only one exit strategy. You want to make sure that...
fallback position.
Absolutely.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like having some contingency, you know, if and what happens, when and how, and all the answers that are open-ended, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of natural pause points along the development process.
Yeah.
And there are also some positions along the development process at which you can sell the land.
Yeah.
With the DA, with the plans and permits, with the construction documentation, with, you know, tenants in place or something like that. There is the need for a contingency.
Yep.
Just in case things go slightly wrong and you're wanting to continue,
yep,
but you do need a little bit of extra money to help you get along the way.
Yep.
And by way of example, on a two-unit development that we did a couple of years back, we got a phone call from the builder, come and have a look at the site. We went out and had a look at the site. It was early days, earthwork days, and they'd hit a septic tank.
Unbeknown to everyone, because that's a fair way under.
Yeah. So what we do is we do some trial holes to get the profile of the soil so you can get your bearing capacity and design your footings. Sure, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you don't do trial holes at 1 meter intervals and pick up a septic tank.
Exactly.
So the chances of hitting a septic tank are quite small.
Yes.
But in this case, we did.
Yeah.
So the owner of the property had to have a few thousand as contingency to be able to say to the builder, sort it out. Fill that septic tank up with concrete, do it now.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, okay.
So we solved that problem by having a contingency.
Yeah.
So we insist on a feasibility,
mm-hmm.
a financial feasibility and a market feasibility. And by that, I mean, is it the right product for the market? And we insist on a contingency.
Yeah.
Because it's a long time frame, isn't it?
Absolutely. And thank you for your time today, Gavin. I think you've been very insightful and given some great tips to our people.
You're welcome, Andrew.
Thanks,
Gavin. You're welcome.
Are you into Twitter? Look us up and give us a follow. We scour the country for the best online property market and finance resources and share them on our feed. It's a fantastic way to keep on top of things.
The financial industry is a dynamic industry, continually evolving and changing. Whilst every effort has been made to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast, no guarantee is given that the information contained herein is currently correct. To the extent permitted by law, Intuitive Finance accepts no responsibility or liability for any loss or damage whatsoever, including direct and indirect, to any person arising from the use or reliance on the information contained in this podcast.